Phil Hendry.
What else did you find?
Well, I found, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, Saturday morning, and we're getting ready, of course, to enjoy our weekend as you are, too. If you guys are third shift, and we got another hour of great radio ahead here. We are going to be talking, if I'm not mistaken, I think we're going to be settling in with Harvey Wyman. We didn't have a lot of time with him on the air the other night, so we're going to talk to him about weapons and military issues, Harvey being an ex-Marine. We also have Dr. Ron Tarner, who's going to be joining us this hour on some scientific matters, of which I have no idea. Why is he on?
Well, you were talking about LSD.
Yeah, when you talked about maybe that guy gave you LSD.
What guy gave me LSD?
Phil didn't say that. You asked if the man did, and he said no.
I thought you said you did.
You know, I wish you guys had listened to me. Nobody gave me any LSD. So you got Dr. Tarner on to talk about what?
How to get what the antidote is.
Yeah, you eat egg whites, and then you eat...
What do you mean the antidote to LSD? Oh, God, man.
Well, I thought that's what you wanted.
What do you mean the antidote to LSD eat egg whites? Anyway, wait till he comes on the air and finds out that we got him out of bed for nothing.
Yeah, he's awake anyway. He said he takes a handful of speed some nights. He likes.
All right, that's that's fine. Anyway, so we're going to be doing that. Now, just to give you a just to conclude this entire folderol about the handgun that I just mentioned it a couple of hours ago. Dan Northcraft helped us find it, and it is a Beretta. The FAG mark is a government inspection mark that appeared on the model of gun in question, a Beretta manufactured in 1934. And these different markings were a part of the inspection that the Italian Army did during the Second World War or prior to it. I think this particular model, it's a 34, and I think the stamp, the FAG stamp that we saw here, was from 1939 or 40. And it makes sense because my father was stationed in Italy in the Second World War, and there's no question that he traded with somebody for this gun, or he was given it, or somehow came into possession of it while he was there in Italy. And there I was some 23 years after the... it was 1968, 23 years after he'd come home, and there he was holding that gun.
A little bit of history, but you see, I think that is... how a lot of men in your generation came to not be so frightened by the prospect of weapons and war.
No, that's not it at all, Margaret. I don't want to get into a political thing, okay?
Yeah, it's making a point, though.
No, I don't want to get into a political thing. It's got nothing to do with that. What are you talking about? I don't think that war is good. I hate it, just like anybody would hate it. But I'm not so freaking disconnected from reality to think that we don't need it. Are you kidding me? Come on.
What do you mean we need it?
War? Are you telling me that we don't need war?
I'm absolutely telling you that, and I'm telling you this. There are mothers, and there are other people who are working for a war-free world.
Margaret, I absolutely praise you for that. But are you trying to tell me we don't need war?
Why do you think we need war?
Because there's jackballs out there, man, that want to bring war to us, whether we like it or not.
Well, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about all this war talk, you know.
No, I don't know.
Yeah, you don't even understand what men have to do.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, okay, Audie Murphy.
What's that?
He was a war hero from World War II that got famous and he went into the movies. All right, welcome back to the program here, 877-876-7445. Dr. Ron Tarner joining us from the Cloverfield Observatory in Mountain Meadow, Colorado. And it's been a long time, Ron. How are you?
Well, hello, Phil. It's good to speak with you, and very good to speak with you, Ms. Gray, and everybody. It is exciting to be on the air with you, Phil.
The guys called you up and wanted you to comment on LSD. Is that what they told you?
They called me and asked me if I would come on and talk about the effects of LSD. And I said to them that I don't know anything about the effects of LSD in general, but I could, as it pertains to antidotes, I think that's what they wanted to know about.
Why did you guys ask him about antidotes?
Because I thought that hippie gave you LSD.
I never said anything of the sort.
Well, I did find an angle. I was going through some of my letters and papers, and I did think of a way of speaking of LSD as it pertains to astronomy, but also as it pertains to science in general, but not from the standpoint of an antidote or from the standpoint of a layperson using LSD. This was more in terms of the scientific community using LSD to further its own reputation. Many people in the science industry using LSD to further their reputation as thinkers, as explorers, as discoverers, as researchers, and so forth. I'm sure you understand what I mean.
No, I don't understand what you mean. Are you saying that there are people in the...
There are people in the scientific community who have experimented with, and at times not even experimented with, but have gone out and used psychotropic drugs in order to expand their minds and see things that they might not be able to see were they not under the influence. And a lot of this has happened in the astronomy field. A lot of this has happened in the... I'm not even going to bring up Stephen Hawking because you know I have a prejudice there.
Yes, I think that you do, and I don't want to bring up anything having to do with drug use and Dr. Hawking. I wouldn't want to have anybody bringing up anything having to do with drug use, and you, if you weren't here to dispute it.
I appreciate that, Phil.
Okay, so let's not even go there.
I'm not going to go there. Dr. Stephen Hawking gets a pass tonight, and some of the wild things that he's come up with. But if you don't want me to say anything...
No, I don't. I don't want you to say it. You can comment on his work, which I know you hold in disdain.
I absolutely do.
And I know you don't like him, and that's fine, and I understand that. I don't think on our show we should be discussing personalities. I think we should be discussing just the raw, hard facts, you know?
Well, Phil, Dr. Stephen Hawking, I will give you, is a brilliant man. But... And I'm only going to, this is only my opinion, but some of the wild and kooky and goofy stuff that he comes up with, I can't believe he had taken a hit of Lyser.
Okay, let's see, that's what I'm talking about. And what kooky stuff did he come up with?
Yeah, you said gooky stuff. I don't know if that matters.
Did you say gooky or kooky?
I said kooky.
Yeah, I heard gooky.
I did too. Well, look.
All right, whatever you want. What crazy stuff?
Well, his whole theory on black holes, I'm telling you, someone had to have dosed something he was drinking. And I'm not trying to be funny. For him to come up with what he came up with on black holes, I believe he was dosed that night. I believe...
How do you know it was a night?
Because I don't think anyone could come up with the ideas and the concepts that he's come up with surrounding the black hole in the middle of the day with the lights on, with the brightness of the sun, with the hope of a new day, with children going to and fro to school. I don't think anyone could come up with the dark, black, sadistic vision of creation that Hawking came up with in the daytime. It had to have been at night, and it had to have been under the influence of a mind-altering and psyche-altering drug.
All right, that's your opinion, and we're going to let it go at that. I don't want to go any further with it.
Well,
I'm sorry, Doc. I'm not going any further with it. That's your opinion. I'm not going any further with it. Let's talk. You said that you had...
Well, I've got a couple of ideas. In my field, which is astronomy, and all right, this takes it far away from Dr. Hawking. This takes it to another individual that you may not know that well. His name is Dr. Peter Brand. And Dr. Brand has long been respected as one of the field's great thinkers and great imagineers, if you will, it's the term they use at Disneyland. He envisions a planet beyond, and when I say envisions, he theorized the existence of a planet beyond Vulcan. As you know, Vulcan is the 10th planet that has been theorized and was first written about by William Bauer. Back in the 1940s.
I don't know any of this stuff.
Well, you can trust me on this.
Talk about Vulcan. Where do Vulcans come from?
No, I'm not talking about Vulcans as in Star Trek. No, I'm talking about a planet theorized by William Bauer and postulated and written about.
Okay, so this is not Star Trek, bud.
Well, but the Star Trek had a Vulcan.
They might have had a Vulcan, and they might have had the planet Volca.
No, it was Vulcan. Yeah, that they called a Vulcan, and they called a guy that had come from there Vulcan.
Well, that's your first indication that whoever came, whoever cooked that up was a real clown. Because what are you laughing at?
What are you laughing at?
Well, I just had the idea. I just realized I called Gene Roddenberry a clown, but...
Well, if he was, he was, you know. But I don't think so. I think Gene Roddenberry was an entertainer, and he came up with what he came up with.
Well, there's no planet named Vulcan. It's... Yes, the planet's Vulcan, but if there's a person from Vulcan called a Vulcan, then it would have to be Vulca or Vulcan.
Okay. You know, I don't know. What did you want to say about this guy?
It isn't him. It's someone who postulated... it was Dr. Peter Brand who came up with the idea of a 11th planet, which I don't think it's been given a name yet. I'd have to check, but it was on the astronomical charts as simply CB517X. CB517X, and this was the astronomical marking given it by Dr. Brand.
So they haven't given it a name, huh?
No, they have not given it a name. And is that because most people in the scientific community don't think it exists? I'm one of them.
You don't think this planet exists?
Oh, no. Because I happen to know that Bran and his wife gave frequent LSD parties. Now, what do I mean by an LSD party?
Okay, so you think he cooked this up on LSD?
I think that... hold on for a minute. Let me get... An LSD party is when you invite people over on a Friday night. Generally, the clothes come off, and there's a hot tub involved. And people wander around naked, but it has nothing to do with sex. It has to do with intellectual conversation. It has to do with intellectual stimulation, if you will. But it has nothing to do with sex. There are just naked people wandering around. And they've taken LSD, and they're getting in and out of hot tubs.
Oh, yeah, hold on for a minute. I want to get Alf on the line. Who's this guy?
This guy from Santa Barbara. Sir.
Alf?
Hey, Bill, this is Alf. I listen to this gentleman talking, and I had to call in a program because I think he's saying some things that they're damaging to a lot of people who have been involved in this for the 40s. Okay, my name is Alf Benil, and I've been living in Santa Barbara since around 1970s, but I was in the Big Sur area in Northern California.
Were you at all aligned with the Esalen Institute? Not Esalen, but S.
Yes, I've been to the with the Dr. Earhart's Institute. I've been and I also was with some of Henry Miller's people there, and we took an awful lot of LSD. And you're talking about wandering around nude. I wandered everywhere with no clothes on, but there was nothing. First of all, I want you to know something. This was an artistic pursuit. It had nothing to do with cooking up planets.
Let me say something to you, Alf, if I could.
I'm sorry, Mr. Henry. I know a little bit about what this gentleman's talking about.
But I'm very glad that you called.
We have to break, okay?
Oh, come on, will you?
We got a break. Hold on. We've got Alf from Santa Barbara and Dr. Ron Tarner, and we're getting into now a conversation about early LSD use. I don't know.
Yeah, it's about when they took LSD and they cooked up planets.
No, this is something else. The other guy's calling about something else. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, as we're talking here with Dr. Ron Tarner, and we also have a gentleman from Santa Barbara, Alf Pint, who was... Alf, you were in Big Sur, Northern California?
Yeah, I was in Northern California, Phil. I was at two institutes up there. These were places they were learning, and they were places where we were... A lot of writers. There were a lot of artists. There were people who were involved in alternative, investigating alternative lifestyles. You know, you might say it was a forerunner to the hippies, the beatniks, and this sort of thing. I can't say that I knew Henry Miller, but he was one of the people who was there. Now, there were some people who used and got their hands on early LSD.
Well, you know, LSD was developed in the 1940s.
Right, exactly. But there were people that brought some, I don't know, don't ask me how, but they got a hold of this. They would take LSD and they strip. I stripped after eating peyote and smoking marijuana, but I did not use LSD.
All right. When you say you stripped?
I took my clothes off, and I wandered as far as Pacific Coast Highway until I was almost killed one night because I was crossing Pacific Coast Highway to one of the general stores that they had in those days, the Big Sur.
Now you're talking about Big Sur, California.
Yes, exactly, because, again, this is the same Big Sur that eventually became a place where the hippies went, and now, of course, very upscale.
Yeah, Big Sur is very upscale, but you're there in the 40s. What do you mean you stripped and wandered across the highway?
This gentleman was talking about LSD.
Well, yeah, I don't know if we're getting too off the subject. I'm talking about the LSD that was used by early artists and eventually was used by scientists. I know two astronomers, and I mentioned Dr. Peter Bradfield because he was a regular LSD user at these LSD parties.
Right, but what I'm saying to the doctor is these were pioneered in California.
Well, when you say pioneered, what do you mean?
I mean the idea of people in a communal setting without any clothes taking LSD.
But you say you never took it.
No, I did not, because the LSD that was available at that time was very limited use. A lot of people ate peyote. A lot of people smoked marijuana. There were some people that smoked opium, this sort of thing.
So we're talking about the early days of drug experimentation. We're not encouraging this because much of this drug experimentation was found to be absolutely useless.
I feel you're right. I mean, there's some people. But the point that I'm making is I wandered up on the PCH one night on my way to a general store because I was hungry, and I went in there and I caused a ruckus because they didn't have any beef jerky or something. So I was arrested, and I was taken to the Julia Pfeiffer Station, which was the Julia Pfeiffer State Park Station, and booked into the Contra Costa Sheriff's substation there, booked, with no clothes on, having smoked opium. I don't know what I was smoking marijuana, and I'd taken peyote.
All right, so you had gone into a general store and had done what?
I had no clothes on. And I created a, I grabbed a hold of the guy that owned the place, and I was looking for beef jerky, as I was telling you.
Well, all right, so you're looking for beef jerky. What's the point?
The point is that I know a little something about these LSD parties that this man's talking about. And
all right, well, listen, thank you very much, Alf.
And I just wanted to tell you about that.
Yeah, I appreciate that very much, pal. Thank you for calling us, and have a good evening.
All right, pal, enjoy your program very much, and
that has nothing to do with anything I'm talking about.
No, I don't think it does. He's talking about he goes into a general store.
Yeah, that sounds like more like an alcohol effect or something. But I'm talking at Peter Brad's house where they had LSD parties in order to have these, what they thought were intelligent conversations about science and so forth. Now, at the end of the night, Brad and his guests are sitting around, and they have painted their faces. They have decorated themselves. In some cases, the men have tied things around their private part. And you realize at the end of the night, nobody has done anything other than act like an ass. Now, Brad came out of these LSD parties theorizing that there was an 11th planet, all right, that he wanted to call something like Bongo. Or I'm trying to find it in my notes.
I thought you said it had no name.
It has no name. No, but he wanted to call it Bongo or Conga.
What are you talking about, Bongo?
That was the name of the planet.
Has anybody taken this jackass seriously?
No, Phil, that's what I'm telling you. No one has taken him seriously because he was heavily into the use of LSD.
Well, then there's nothing to worry about, I would think.
Okay, I mean, if you're...
I mean, that's what I'm saying. There's,
But what I'm saying is you've got to be careful of that.
Absolutely. And I know that the guys called you up and had you on tonight to talk about the antidote for LSD.
Well, I've got, yeah, and Robert, you don't know what you're talking about. It's not egg whites. It's something else than egg whites.
But I just thought that's what it was.
All right, anyway, thank you. Dr. Ron Turner. Thanks, Ron.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, you found out about that guy's planet.
That's fine. That's fine. The guy drops acid and imagines a planet named Bongo. Okay, no one in the scientific community takes him seriously. So, Ron, I don't think there's any real threat to the astronomy, the astronomical thing. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
If a planet does, if they ever name a planet Bongo, you'll know who to blame.
Phil Hendry.
Phil, 877-876-7445. We're going to go to Dale here on the Phil Hendry Show. Dale, go ahead.
Hi, Phil. How are you?
Good.
Phil, I've been listening to your program. I want to preface my remarks by saying I've listened to talk radio for many years. I've listened to a lot of programs that have been informative. And I just so you know, I'm calling from the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania area. We come from an area where we've got a lot of talk radio here.
Uh-huh.
And I've got to tell you that I feel embarrassed for you because I just cannot understand how you, with so much going on in the world, how you have on your program this sort of parade of I can only call them bizarre people, and more specifically, I'm referring to the doctor you had on about discussing LSD. You had another elderly gentleman, I guess, who was discussing. Do you know the man I'm talking about, sir?
Yes, sir. I mean, I'm letting you have your say.
Well, I don't have much to say other than that you had a doctor on and you had a man on who was purported to have taken his clothes off and was using drugs, illicit drugs. I think he mentioned marijuana and going into a business, a place of business, and assaulting the business owner and this kind of thing. And we have so much that's going on. Washington D.C. and Obama, what he's done to this country, I can't even begin to describe. I wish that you would talk more about what Obama has done. He's destroyed any chance we have of recovering this country intact. It'll take us 100 years, in my opinion, to catch up to where we were. And by then, we will be a third world nation, and Obama, and only Obama.
So what would you like me to do about that, sir?
Well, I don't need for you to do anything about it. I wish you'd talk a little bit about it. That's all.
And what can we talk about when it comes to Obama that hasn't been talked about by other shows?
Mr. Hendry, I'm very familiar with talk radio, and you guys always get the last word, and you always make an effort to make the people that call up sound as ludicrous as possible. And I would only ask you to give me the respect of hearing me out here.
I've been listening to you.
You've been listening to me, but you're interrupting. And
all right.
And you did it again, right there. And I would just like to have, okay?
Yes.
All right. Obama is taking our country, and he is turning it into a banana republic. He's turning it into nothing more than another South American or subtropic republic with our wives, our daughters. I can't even begin to imagine what's going to happen to our wives and daughters. It's turned into... have you ever been to Jamaica? Have you seen those rum stands they have on the sides of the road?
Yes, I have.
You have?
Yes, sir.
I've seen photographs of them. I haven't been there myself, but... Is it his idea to turn our wives and daughters into these rum stand whores that sit there and...
Okay, I gotta interrupt you.
This is what I mean about talk radio. You don't give anyone a chance.
Now, I got to interrupt you because, first of all, you're going on and on and on and on and on and on and on.
But you're entitled to go on and on and on, huh?
Yes, sir, I am. It's my show. But I want to say this, all right?
Oh, it's your show. Well, what about the people that have... And you know, you don't give anybody a chance to say anything.
I just want to say, sir, calling Obama's turning our wives and daughters into rum stand whores.
Yes, exactly.
Do you want to explain that?
I'd be happy to if you would allow me to. And let me get a word in edgewise. I've been trying to get a word in edgewise since I called your program. But you have been going nonstop. And the moment I came on the air here, I've been trying to squeeze a word in here and squeeze a word in there, and all you are doing is interrupting me and making what I'm trying to say sound like a ludicrous bunch of nonsense. Now, I'm trying to tell you that when I was a young man, I grew up in eastern Pennsylvania. And I can recall very clearly when my sister, a very sweet and innocent young girl of 15, was taken advantage of by a friend of mine who was an older chap who was in his early 20s. And I remember saying to him, "You turned my sister into a field slut?" So when you don't know what a rum stand whore is, and this guy turned my sister into a field slut...
I don't know what a field slut is, sir.
You don't know what a field slut is. Well, I feel sorry for you. I feel sorry for you.
All right. I mean, I don't... did he get her pregnant?
Yes, he got her pregnant.
Okay, sir. I understand that. With the equation between...
Please don't treat me as if I'm stupid. Please don't.
No, sir. I just don't know what a field slut is.
You don't know what a field slut is. You're trying to make a monkey out of me, and I won't allow it. I won't allow it.
I don't know what that means. Was your sister a farmhand or something?
See, this is why people hate liberals. This is why they hate liberals.
You know something, sir? I don't know what you're talking about. I understand that your daughter, not your daughter.
It was my sister. If you think I'd let someone turn my daughter into a field slut, I'm going to tell you, and I don't mind saying this out loud, that's one less person we've got to worry about on this planet.
The guy that turned your daughter?
Either that or my daughter. I'll kill either one of them. I will not have her going around like a field slut. I won't have her walking around with the scarlet letter of the latter half of the 20th century, FS, on her.
Okay.
Well, why did you... That man was emoting, I think, in a very lovely way.
Oh, get out of here, will you?
That guy's talking about a field slut.
He was talking about a sister that he loved very much that had been taken and ruined... My God, I wish we heard from more men who have the honor of their sisters, the honor of their little sisters at heart.
That guy was nuts. Okay?
Nuts?
Yes, nuts. That guy was loopier than, as my father used to say, he was dingier than two coats of paint.
What's that mean?
He's nuts. That cat was talking about... I first of all, I thought we were dealing with a guy that was just, you know, he doesn't like my show. Okay, I can understand that. And he wants to talk about politics. Okay, now he's starting to talk about Obama turning the country into third world banana republic. I got news for you. Anytime anybody starts going down that road, we're talking to someone who's mentally ill. I don't mind if you disagree with Obama. I get that. I understand if you think this, that. But to just cut from I don't like Obama to... Third world banana republic. Okay, that's number one. Then number two comes rum stand whores.
Well, that he was talking about the women that hang around the rums. You've been to the rum stands.
Yes, I've been to the rum stand. I never saw one prostitute near any of them.
Down in Jamaica?
Yes.
You ain't never seen one?
No.
Well, I've seen it. Apparently in the literature, they're prevalent.
Oh, bull crap. I've seen rum stands. I've even gone to the jerk chicken and those jerk barbecue stands.
The jerk what?
Jerk barbecue. Don't give me that funny look. And they're pleasant. I got drunk at one of those stands once, and then I went down the road and I got myself some jerk chicken and jerk sausage.
Yeah, I'll bet it was.
Get out of here. And I'm telling you, so this guy goes off on that, and then finally we get to the point of the whole conversation. His sister was turned into a field slut by some guy.
Well, I'm, you know, I looked that up, man. That's one of the last lines in the Heat of the Night.
You're kidding.
I knew it.
Yeah.
I knew he got that from In the Heat of the Night. And then finally, the scarlet letter of the latter half of the 20th century, FS.
Well, he didn't say on the forehead.
Well, no, but I mean, for some reason, that's what I imagine. So that guy's a kookball. And let me just tell you something. You can say all you want about talk radio, news talk. I think the goofiest, weirdest, sickest, most mentally deranged people there are on the radio today are talking about politics. I think that the Obama and the politics radio that's going on, right? Conservative this, liberal that, whatever. I think they all need to be in a mental institution. Every last one of them. Because these guys get so worked up over crap they don't even believe in. Then you have the people that call in. They don't believe what they're saying. It's all just one big, it's all falderall. All right, folks, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, online at philhendryshow.com. If you were not with us earlier, let me repeat what we are going to be rolling out on Monday for new subscribers to the Phil Hendry Show website. As of Monday, we are giving away on our website, for every monthly subscription, if you buy a one-month subscription, you're going to get one free digital CD. For every six-month subscription, a semi-annual subscription, you'll get three free digital CDs. And for a new annual subscription, five free digital CDs. These are digital. They're downloads. And if you go to our shop, you can see which ones we've got. They're all of the best ofs. From, I think, 1997?
Yeah, 97. Then there's another one from Miami.
Then we also have the Miami download. And then there are the best of Bobby Dooley and the best of Ted Bell. So these are all state-of-the-art from our own personal DAT tapes, first-generation quality, and it's yours at philhendryshow.com starting on Monday. And with a subscription. So that's just a little way of introducing you to what's going to be some very cool changes coming to the website. We are introducing a new design the middle of the month. We are going to be available for live streaming to Apple customers, people with iPhone and iPad. We are already available to our Apple customers for on-demand with the iPhone and the iPad. Of course, our Droid and our desktop users have been watching the live stream of our video cast, and they've been able to listen to the streaming audio as well for quite some time. So it's some exciting days ahead. Don't forget to join us on Twitter at twitter.com/RealPhilHendry and on Facebook at facebook.com/PhilHendryFans, PHANS. And we'll be right back. And don't forget, Monday, the Lions are blacked out, but it's Ned Garline and Larry McKinney, and I believe it's the Tampa Gator Bait against the D.C. Federal Brigade in the PHFL Game of the Week, Monday at 10 a.m., So join us on Phil TV for that one. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
The Phil Hendry Show. I remember when my sister was a field slut, and I didn't appreciate it, but I did.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. That whole rum slut thing, I don't know what that was.
Well, he was talking about a rum stand whore.
Because I was in Jamaica, and you stop at these rum stands, there's no... It's a rum stand. And, of course, that's some clown that was talking about Obama, but there's no... The only thing they have at those stands is rum and this grapefruit drink called Ping. And you can stop the car. And when I was in Jamaica, it was a long time ago. I was there probably now 16 years ago. And I was with my girlfriend's family because they were there for a family reunion. And as we traveled along this highway from Kingston to Ocho Rios, we were going, anybody that knows Jamaica are probably familiar with the coastal road that you take. It's only about 60 miles. It can't be more than 60 miles, maybe 50 miles to get from Kingston to Ocho Rios. It took us all bloody day because it's just, you know, it's a narrow two-lane road. But as we're traveling along, and of course, here I am, the white boyfriend, and I'm stopping, and they're talking to people along the way, and everybody recognized the name of their grandfather because they'd say, "Hi, we're the Barrett family. We're from the United States, and we're here for a family reunion." Oh, really? Yeah. Do you know our grandfather? His name was Barrett. Oh, yeah. They knew the name Teacher Barrett. That's what they called him.
Isn't that interesting? Teacher Barrett is what his name was.
That's how he was known to the people there, because he was the teacher. And apparently he was a guy that was a hard-ass man. He had the boys had to wear their tie, and they had to have their slacks, and they had to have their shirt. But anyway, there I am getting hammered on ping and rum.
Yeah, what a sure. What a disgrace.
No, man, you didn't drunk?
Well, I wasn't getting drunk. I didn't know they were going to stop and start talking to people, but I'm... Yeah, how do you do? Hi, I'm Phil. And they're figuring, who's this white guy? But anyway, I'm sure it wasn't that big of a deal. If it was, then they didn't say anything about it until I was rolled later. I'm kidding.
Dude, that's racist, man.
I'm joking. So, make a long story short, then the other thing you got along the way were these jerk chicken barbecues and jerk sausage. It was fantastic, I'm telling you.
So, you didn't mind eating it?
Why would I mind?
Well, what about if you're going to get a disease or something?
They get a disease. No way. No way. It was fantastic. As a matter of fact, what I remember, I bought some chicken and sausage, and it was gone, man. Within 20 miles, people were eating this. It was all gone. It was fantastic. It was delicious. I've forgotten all about jerk. That stuff is...
That's really spicy, right?
Yes, it's really spicy. They use the Scotch bonnet pepper, which is the same thing as, I believe it's the same thing as the habanero, which it's a round cherry-looking pepper that they have in Jamaica. And by God, it's hot, man. It is just a hot thang. All right, what else have we not been looking at here, man? I already talked about Rihanna. I could care less about her and her life and what's going on with her. And, you know, so she got her diamond. Good for you, Rihanna.
Yeah, you already talked about how you think that these are people that, you talked about how you think that these are, the hip-hop people are so, I guess, black that they don't get wealth.
I never said anything of the sort.
You didn't say that.
That's what I got out of it.
That's what you got out of it. Yeah, they're so black in the hip-hop world, they don't really get wealth. With barely a month left before the fiscal cliff, Republicans and Democrats remained far apart on Friday in talks to avoid the across-the-board tax hikes and spending cuts that threatened to throw the country back into recession. I just want to say one thing. And if I sound like, you know, I'm a slob, then I'm a slob. I got to tell you, conservatives are really smart about a lot of things, and they're really dead-on right about a lot of things, but they are so dead-on right about a lot of things, they think they're right about everything, and they're just flat not. And it's going to really steer this country right straight into a dumpster. No, I don't really think it will, but I thought I'd use some of the same apocalyptic language that is used by other people in this here spoken word format talk radio thing.
Yeah.
Now, Rick Santorum and 35 other Republican senators do not want the United States to sign off on a UN treaty on how to treat the disabled, even though the treaty is based on the Americans with Disabilities Act. It is a UN treaty among other nations that is based on our very own Americans with Disabilities Act. And even Santorum and some of the other senators have said, I know it looks bad that we are voting against this, but guess what? They're voting against it anyway on principle, because Santorum and the rest of these mental midgets, and I say mental midgets not because they're Republicans, because there are other Republicans that are in favor of it. John McCain is in favor of it. There's a great many other Republicans that are in favor of it. But Santorum and this other slob, I forget his name, have put together enough Republican votes to block this treaty. And why is that, ladies and gentlemen? On principle, the UN is a bad thing, and it's all that right-wing conspiracy, one world, Atlas Shrugged bullcrap. And the UN just on principle is a bad thing, and we shouldn't be doing it. Rick Santorum really thinks his day has arrived. Him and other Republican, really arch-conservative people think their day has arrived, and they are speaking for so many people. They have no idea that what they're actually doing is just bleeding this country. That's all they're doing. They have no idea that their stupidity is actually in direct opposition to what is healthy for this country. What is the point, sir, blocking a treaty that is based upon our very own Americans with Disabilities Act, that even you and your colleagues say it looks bad that we're blocking this thing and it isn't really a bad treaty. However, we just don't think the United States should be involved with the UN, and on principle we're going to block this treaty. What is the... This is not a time to be standing on that kind of stupidity. Do you wonder, with a guy like that and other senators like that, do you really think we're going to get a fiscal cliff agreement between Republicans and Democrats? Santorum thinks that he has the unspoken support of the millions, the great silent majority. He thinks the conservative revolution has arrived, and he's speaking for millions. Dude, you're speaking for exactly 35 other senators. And you are speaking against something that you really know you shouldn't be speaking against. You're speaking out on some principle that has got your head so far up your own ass that you even know your head's up your ass, but at this point there's no point in pulling it out because you'd look even dumber than you do now with it up there. So you might as well just keep your head up your ass and say, you know what, I may look stupid, but I'm standing on principle, as you waddle back to your car with your head up your, I don't know.
How are you going to drive like that?
You can't even drive a car safe with your head in your ass.
Thank you.
Well, I want to applaud that. That was very good.
Thank you. Anyway, Phil Henry's show will be back on Monday. Don't forget a live streaming video of our show, as well as all the archives available at philhenryshow.com. Don't forget, beginning on Monday, we are giving away free digital downloads with our subscriptions. And we'll post all of the points and the facts and the stuff for you on our website. Until Monday, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Henry.